So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and for what you are doing in this place. We ask for understanding in Jesus' name as we continue in the teaching of if you love me, what it means to love you. We thank you for clarity and for the ability to walk in that which we are taught in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be continuing on If You Love Me. And I believe what I'm doing right now is very prophetic. I'm a prophet, so I don't just see visions. I also interpret what God is doing. Yes, so I believe God is gradually getting us on into Sunday services. That's what he's doing.
Glory.
Yes, that's what he's doing. I know it. He doesn't need to tell me, but I know it. Because I wake up on a Sunday morning and there are people around and I teach them last week. And I feel like this week, okay, let me not teach. And then I wake up again and it's on my heart like you have a sermon to preach. So that's how I know the Lord's leading us into something very good. But we're going to continue with our teaching on If You Love Me. We are staying on John 21. So your Bibles to John 21. We had discussions on this subject matter. And we had been looking into Jesus' instruction to Peter. And we're just going to take a recap, a short recap of it, just in case you didn't get to understand, but I trust you did. I'm going to start reading from verse 1 to the time where Jesus actually meets the disciples, meets Peter, and gives him very, would I call it a sad response to his professing of his love for Jesus. So we're going to start reading. It's quite a long read, but we'll be fine. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Depending on the school you went to, pronunciations can be different, but they are all nouns. So nouns, we don't really have a problem. Okay. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we're going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. And when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? Jesus is amazing, eh? Calls them children, because they were actually children. It's 33. John was around 16. It's pretty much of a younger folk. Maybe around that time, he was maybe 18, Most of them were around 19, 20, 21, 22. So he saw them as children. So they were not, he didn't call them children because they were adults and he was trying to presume they were children. They were actually children. Yeah, so it's amazing how God hands over a very major responsibility of continuing his work to children. That's amazing. Yes. It means the world is ours. Yes, it's ours. Yes, so he says, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As for Peter, now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put out his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in a little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the nets and fish. So Peter is just excited too, but he couldn't know it was him. John was the one that knew it was him. And so he couldn't wait for the boat to actually sail to Jesus. He jumped into the water, swam to Jesus before others came in on the boat. All right. And then Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And yet, amazingly, Peter couldn't tell, unfortunately. Verse 15, and when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Verse 16, he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Verse 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. So we have been taking some time establishing how important the work of this shepherd was to tend, to feed. We just had a general sort of look. Today we might go just a little bit paying attention to teaching or preaching. You know, the two are not the same exactly, except that we can have a teaching that is preached and we can have a preaching that is taught. So there could be a teaching that is preached. So we're going to look at that. And these are very fundamental ways of proving our love for Jesus. There's no other way. Today, I'm going to take you some time to just walk with you through the Gospels on the ministry of Jesus and how often he took time to teach and what teaching meant to us. And then we'll also look at he continuing that work of ministry through us today. So there was a work he was doing that he is still presently doing, except that in today, we do not have him in body form, go into Galilee. Like, I mean, we'll all look for the location, you know. Like, we heard that Jesus is at Medina. You know. Hey, Sonny, we all have to go. Our Jesus, he's at Medina. The one we've always been worshiping and crying and exalting and loving. They said he has just come to Medina. How did he come? He came through a, what do you call it? Range Rover. So we are going to be looking for him. In fact, I don't think I'll even change my clothes. Like right there, we'll just, everybody just pick your bags. I mean, bags, right? Let's just go. Cause Jesus, yeah. So, unfortunately, our Jesus is not with us today. And in bodily form, but he's present in us today through his spirit, right? So if there was something he was doing, he's not stopped doing it, except that the mechanism has changed of him doing it bodily form to he now doing it via his spirit in other people who have his spirit. So the prophet Isaiah is giving us a prophecy about what Jesus was coming to exemplify. So in Isaiah 61, are we there? Isaiah 61. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentation, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. So Isaiah. Yeah, so Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. You see, there's a spirit within and there's a spirit upon. The spirit within helps us live the life of Jesus. The spirit upon helps us do the mighty works or to do the works of Jesus. So the spirit upon is that spirit for a doing. It does something. Right? So when you say, I'm very meek and gentle, you know, that's the spirit within. He has an onworking activity on the inside. Then there is him upon. Now when he comes upon, he's not coming so that you will just be mild and gentle and very calm. That's his work within. To be meek within. But when he comes upon, he's coming for you to do something. There's something that is done demonstratively that the eyes can see. So the prophet Isaiah is saying or giving out a prophecy on whom the Spirit is going to be upon. He talks about Jesus actually. Then he says, the Spirit of God is upon me because the Lord had anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. To preach. It's to announce. To preach. To herald. So, the Spirit of God is upon me. He has endowed me with a special ability to do what? To preach. Now, what are you going to be preaching? Because you see, to preach will be to announce a message. Right? I mean, if I tell you, you know, go preach to the open square. The next thing you should be asking me is, what should I preach? Because to run to proclaim nothing is not to preach. So with the preaching comes a message. You cannot be a preacher without a message. And that's why, you know, they say, somebody might say, they say there's a church or there's some people called Christ family, okay. And they say their pastor gives them what to preach. Oh, that's true. Do you understand? Even Jesus had been commissioned with something to preach. Jesus, don't just go and stand there and say, you know, my name is Jesus. Uh-huh. The Father has sent me, uh-huh, to preach. Uh-huh. So what is the message? I'm nothing. I'm just here. I'm just here to. Okay, so what do you have to say? Oh, nothing. So to be a preacher or to be anointed, for Jesus to be anointed to preach, there's a message to preach. Now, as a ministry, we have a message to preach and we're unapologetic about it. That's why you don't just preach anything. He's giving us a message to preach. So we all are preaching the same thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? So even Jesus, God's Spirit upon him, had anointed him to preach. Then he doesn't just anoint him to preach, just go around preaching. You know, you can be proclamatory about salaries increase. Yes, you see, someone can stand and say, yay, I'm going to increase his salary. No, right? So there's a proclamation of increment of salary. Now, in simple words, the person preaches salary increment. He announces salary increment. Right? He stands in the middle of the, what do you call it? In the middle of the town. And he says, Mamun Tuma NDCO. Let me just make this, what do you call it? Very balanced. Mamun Tuma MVPO. Now let me make it more even balanced. Mamun Tuma, what do you call it? What's the name of that guy? CPP or what? Cheddar. Aha. So now he's balanced, right? So, you know, so that's somebody that stands there and proclaims a message. You know, there's a message that's proclaimed. You need to hear what I'm telling you, this salary increment. But that is not what Jesus is sent to preach. He says, preach glad tidings was what was given him to preach. And in this ministry, there are things given you to preach. You don't just preach anything. Well, I don't know about other churches' commissions and other churches' responsibilities. But God's giving us a message to preach. Right? And we're going to preach that same message. It's the message of the gospel. It's a message of honor. We trust that loyalty is very essential for us as a ministry. It's something we teach. It's something we preach. So when you say, so can't we say it in our own revelation? Please, no. Just teach what you've been given. You don't need to have any revelation. Just teach what you've been given. Right? Produces the same effect. So even Jesus is giving a what? A message to preach. Now, what is that message? He calls it the message of glad tidings. That's the message. Glad tidings. To the poor. 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 It's not talking definitely about finances materially exactly. Normally seen as destitute or poor is to be seen as not being full of Christ, not having him. That's poor. So, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You see? So, he is saying that the Spirit upon, do you see that all what we said is to do? Can we see that? Yes. It's to do. So to preach good tidings to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Heal the brokenhearted. To cause a soothing, a healing to hearts that are broken. Hearts that are broken. You know, there are many broken hearts today. Yes. The world is full of brokenhearted people. Not just boyfriend and girlfriend broken hearts. That's not what I'm doing. When you hear broken heart, don't go there. There are many things that can actually break hearts. Yes. It causes your heart to be distorted, splitted into two. It's just that it's more noted for relationships and all. But it goes away. If you go to when you find somebody who has a relative that is sick, you know that sometimes their hearts can be broken with respect to what they see in that fellow. Yes. Their hearts can be broken with worry, broken with anxiety. Their heart is not in its rightful shape. It's not the way it is supposed to be. That's a broken heart. No, it doesn't necessarily mean, yes, there sometimes it's splitted into two, but sometimes it's not the way it's supposed to be. It's like a broken cup. It's not the way it's supposed to be. There's something wrong with the cup. We realize now that's a broken cup. Maybe it leaks at a point. It's a broken heart. So he's being sent to heal the broken heart. Now pay attention, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Do you see another responsibility of preaching? Yes. Told you that to preach will be to proclaim. It's actually the word basar. To proclaim. B-A-W-S-A-R. So, Jesus is sent to proclaim liberty to the captives. Then, he says, to open and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Then again, to what? To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So, here they are. Even, let's take it just on a fakir. There are three proclamatory things to be done. You cannot despise what he came to do, in that he came to preach and to teach. Now, we're going to look at other things that he did as well. Of course, he healed. Of course, he demonstrated compassion and love. But often in Jesus' ministry, you'll find that he taught. The next thing he'll do was that he healed. You know, quite a number of theologians say there was about 2/3 of healing and miracles in what he was doing. But even those healings and miracles were to teach a message. If he healed you, he was teaching you something. He used the healing to communicate a reality that you did not know or you could not understand by just thinking about in your mind. So he didn't just heal you because you were supposed to be healed. Now, if he healed you, it means that he wanted you to be aware of what God is doing in him, which is Christ Jesus. And that's a function of knowledge. So he just helped you by doing that. But he actually wants you to come to that reality of what Jesus, I mean, what God has done for you. So, in Isaiah 61, proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord. We're going to take time to look at the acceptable year. Maybe not today, maybe today. So, to preach is very important. Now, I said to preach is to announce. It doesn't necessarily have to be in the loudness of the voices. Like, when you see that, and I'll say, okay, come on, shout. Somebody say, pastor is now preaching. Then you come and say, okay, what if I say, okay, somebody shout. So you see, it's not in the voice actually, right? We're actually going to look at the word teach so that we can understand how that we love him by paying attention to this. Last week we paid attention to it on a facade, looking at other things and how we can love, interact, counsel, show compassion, visits, and all of that. But today we're going to narrow it down and then look at Jesus and then duplicate the same in our ministries. Do you see that? Let's look at an example of preach. 2 Samuel 1:20. Second Samuel. When you're there, just let me know. 2 Samuel 1:20. Okay, so this is also how the word preach is used. You know, when Saul died and then David returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, people wanted to rejoice that Saul had died because they had some kind of love for David and then they wanted David to be king. First Samuel is not too far away. So First Samuel, you're almost there. 1 Samuel, yes, 20. And you know, the women are famous for preaching. I was reading John 5 today before I actually came to you and how that Jesus met the woman, you know, at the well. And she looked at him and I'm sure she felt like, who is this guy? Because, you know, the Samaritans had no, relation with the Jews. And then a man like Jesus, no. They couldn't have anything to do with him. So, Jesus says, could you give me a little water to drink? And then the woman said, look at you. We don't have any relationship. Why should I give you water to drink? Jesus says, you know what? I think I know you. You have 5 husbands, isn't it? She said, hey. Who's this guy? In fact, the one you are staying with, he's not your husband. The lady is very amazed and very shocked. And then, so why are you telling me to give you water? He says, if I give you, there's a water I have. If you give me water, there's water I have. When I give to you, you'll never thirst again. So the woman is taken amazed. What kind of water is that? I mean, everybody, I would have wanted water like that. Like, there's no such a water in everywhere. You just drink and you are done for life. Right? Then she went out and went and brought all the men in the city. She saw them. She bundled all of them and then she brought them to the city. So, it was the same thing about Samuel's case. In fact, I'm going to show you another instance. The women were known as proclaimers. Yes. I'll show that to you. Maybe at Zelo. The women were known as proclaimers. And they were loud. See that? So the moment David was supposed to take Saul's place after Saul's death, you see, they're like, yeah, I mean, David, you are a king. You see, they already started hailing David. He has killed much more than Saul. So they make noise about a certain reality till it becomes something that everybody knows about. So this was what happened. And then David had to show a lot of concern. He said, his daughters, tell it nothing, God. In fact, because he says how the mighty had fallen. Verse 19. Let's start from verse 19. The beauty of Israel is slain on high places. In fact, David, Saul was slain with his son, who happened to be Jonathan. None of them made it. So, the beauty of Israel is slain on your high places. How the mighty have fallen. Then listen to what David is saying. He says, you know, tell it not in God. Don't say it so that anybody will hear that the mighty has fallen. David was a good man. Now, I'm showing you preaching in a sense and how that explains also teaching. So, he says, no, you know what? Tell it not in God, right? How the mighty have fallen. Proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon. Don't be loud about Saul's death. It means that we can be preaching somebody's death. Like, hey, he has died. Oh, hey, he has died. Hey, the person who wanted to die. Yay. Like, everybody is just excited that the guy Saul, they didn't like him. They wanted David as king. The guy is finally gone. Then listen to what he said. He says, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. They are also loud people, but they actually wanted the fall of Israel, but they would rejoice that, oh, the mighty had what? Had fallen. Lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. He didn't want unbelievers to hear what was going on. So that's a typical example of to proclaim. It's like to be loud about something, right? Now, don't forget the Spirit of God upon Jesus. Don't forget what I'm telling you. Was upon him. And the first thing that we see the Spirit of God do upon him was to anoint him to proclaim. It's like the believer has a grace to teach and to preach. It's to proclaim. It's to tell out. That's why he says, tell it not. Oh, then in verse 23, it says, Saul and Jonathan were beloved and pleasant in their lives. David, I love that man. I truly love David. So, the Spirit of God is upon. So when we have the Spirit upon, it's not just upon you to just be there. No. It's going to be upon you to proclaim. And what are you going to be proclaiming? The message, which is glad tidings, good news, the gospel, euangelion. Right? Now, see what happens when Jesus finally exemplifies this. In Luke 4:14. Are you paying attention to something? Luke 4:14. Now, look what happened. Jesus is now coming to exemplify that. You see, let me tell you something. I'm showing you how to be a minister that God approves. How to be a minister that God approves. Then maybe the next time we'll look at miracles. But today we're looking at teaching. How that you can be a minister that God approves of. That when God looks at you, he does not despise your ministry. You know, there are some people, I don't have an opportunity to judge, but that's what the Word of God says. There are some people whose ministries are not approved. Not approved because we say the ministries are not approved. But the Word of God does not teach us that that's how the ministry should be. So already that's a disapproval of what God wants us to do. Because when we pay attention to his word and how he wants us to do it, his word is his approval. The moment we don't do it his word and we say, there is a spirit that tells me to do. No, there's not spirit. Every spirit we see is written in the word of God. We can verify into what is here. Do you understand? So when we closely mark your ministry, now, I'm not talking about some other ministry. I'm talking about your ministry. Say, my ministry. Yes. So when we mark your ministry and we don't see some of these things, that's already a sort of disapproval from God. So it's not something that he wants you to do. So, in Luke 4:14, we'll actually start from verse 16. And then, he says, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, right? We just read Isaiah, right? So you see that in Jesus' time, what happened was that they did not have the Gospels. The Gospels actually were written of him. So what they had then was Isaiah, Jeremiah, Malachi, Psalms, the writings of the prophets, major and minor, and then the books of Moses. So they had what we call the Old Testament. So in their synagogues, what we use today as the New Testament, they had it as the Old Testament, because Paul came after. They didn't have Timothy. They didn't have Revelation. John actually was probably not even called yet. So all of those, we don't have them. So they actually had the Old Testament, which happens to be the Law and the Prophets. So Jesus actually in their synagogues, you know, that's why when you read the books of Jesus, like the Gospels, Jesus always made reference to the fact that they do not read carefully, because the prophets or the law, which happened to be the writings of Moses, testified of the one they were seeing, and they still could not realize that he was the one they had been reading about all this while. So he says in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is what? Upon me, because he has anointed me. He has anointed me. He has endowed me. Right? To do what? To preach. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Now, to proclaim liberty to the captives is actually to preach to as well. They are the self and the same thing, except that they vary in their presentations. They are the self and the same thing. To preach the gospel to the poor will be to be proclaiming liberty and captive, I mean, liberty to them. Because anybody who understands the gospel is free of captivity, first and primarily of the law. Then other things that are related to what it brings. To recover the sight of the blind, it's still the same preaching. Because anybody who has not come to the knowledge of what Jesus Christ has done is blind. Do you see that? To set at liberty those who were oppressed is freedom not in the gospel. Right? So to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, it's to preach again. What God is doing, he has been sent to preach. He has been sent to teach. He has been sent to proclaim. He has been sent to explain. He has been sent to instruct. All of these will mean that Jesus' primary responsibility, we can confidently say, three activities were proclamatory. In other words, three activities were by word of mouth. Yeah? Yes. To preach, to proclaim. Oh, now look what happened. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. Verse 21. Can we read together just the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 phrases? What was he doing? He was preaching. The moment he said, from this day, this scripture is fulfilled. So all eyes were set on him. He began to preach. Begin to speak in tongues right now. We're going to pray shortly that there's something happening to your preaching and your teaching ministry. Susan. Proshtai. Jishte krevedebe lebe diste. Moshtu rabadabashtande. To rabba bashte kila mande shebe bibo. Bro shtala makise. Tira bashoto rodobo. Shobrada baradaba. Je vais vivre autour de toi. Si je prends tel et prends tel, shala brada bala bata. Oba basha brada bata. Something happening to your preaching and to your teaching ministry. Something happening to your preaching and to your teaching ministry. Today is the scripture for you in your life as well. Something happens to your preaching and to your teaching ministry as a proof of your love for him. As a proof of your love for him. As a proof of your love for him. Something happens to your preaching and to your teaching ministry. Oh, Amanda, Shobra. Stula Mangrete Fetele Precateve, Jepretu Laman. Something happens to your preaching and to your teaching ministry. Like Jesus, you proclaim the gospel to the poor and to them that are captive. Like Jesus, you proclaim liberty to the captive. Like Jesus, you will proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Glory. Amen. So, your preaching and your teaching ministry is changing from today in Jesus' name. There's going to be a difference in the way you preach, in the way you teach. The word of the Lord will be mighty on your lips. God's word will be mighty on your lips. Mighty on your lips. Mighty on your lips. Mighty on your lips. You preach the word of God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. And he has anointed you. He has anointed you. He has endowed you. He has anointed you with the ability to teach, to preach, to teach, and to preach in Jesus' name. Rise to your feet. Verse 22, see what he says. We're going to pray just shortly. I want you to see what he says. So, all bore witnesses to him and marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. So, the Spirit of God upon a man causes his words to be gracious. They were shocked that what kind of a graciousness is this? It's the anointing. It's the anointing. He says, today is this scripture fulfilled. It's the anointing to preach. There'll be gracious words flowing out from your mouth. Gracious words in your teachings. Gracious words in your teachings. Gracious words in your teachings. You know, the anointing to preach and to teach, it causes men to be marveled. He says, they marveled at the gracious words which proceeded from his mouth. There'll be gracious words flowing out of your mouth. Gracious words. Your teaching and your preaching ministry will change and is changing in Jesus' name. From today, there'll be an utterance as well. An utterance. You know, whenever you teach and whenever you preach, people will say, this is a very good thing. Yes, it's a very good thing. It's a very good thing. It's a very wonderful thing. It's a glorious thing. They will be marveled. They'll be marveled. At what gracious words proceed from your mouth. Ah. In Jesus' name. Let's say amen at proclamations rather than speaking tongues. Unless you are led. Right? So, you realize that the people were marveled. Since when did Irene start to teach this way? That's the anointing of God. It comes upon you for something. And the first thing that it does is that it gives you the ability to proclaim, to teach, to expound, to explain, to teach, to preach, to teach. And it's coming upon you in Jesus' name. Take your seats. So, Jesus has that grace. Verse 22, you see? So all bore witness to him. And they did what? They marveled. Does anybody have a different version? KJV. Okay, mine is New King James. Okay, you can read yours.
And all bearing witness, uh-huh, and wondered at the gracious words.
They wondered at the gracious words, uh-huh,
which proceeded out of his mouth.
They couldn't. We know this guy. They'll release their. We know this guy again. I mean, they are used to doing that. We understand. But they were so shocked that those words proceeded from the mouth of Jesus. What does your version say?
Verse 22.
And all spoke well of him.
And wondered at the gracious words.
And they were wondering. You see? Do you see that there are signs, miracles, and wonders? A wonder is anything that makes you just wonder. Like, you are wondering, what's happening? What's going on? Teachings causes wonders. Yeah. Yes. That's why, you know, very, like, teaching ministries. When you see the thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people that move in there, isn't that a wonder? Like, why are you moving to go and sit down to listen to somebody? That's a wonder. Yes. And in the teachings, you wonder, how didn't I ever think about something like this? Or how didn't I ever know this? Yes. So they wondered, just like a wonder, like maybe, let's say, maybe if you entered here and then you realize that my slippers is walking around. You know, you wonder. It's something that startles you. It's a wonder that you just see the slippers walking. You say, Pastor, we just saw slippers walking around. say, you know, that's one of my good friends. But Pastor, we can't see, you know, in fact, you start telling yourself that, no, this is not a place to come again. Right? So that's a wonder. And teachings are actually a wonder. So the people, they were wondering at the gracious words which proceeded out of the mouth of Jesus. And they said, so they start to now bring in their, is this not Joseph's son again? And he said to them, a prophet is not accepted in his own town or in his own country. So there are going to be wanderings as you teach. Wanderings, like you're wondering, how is it that he's able to communicate this with so much graciousness? With so much graciousness. There's a communication. It's not just a communication, but it's a communication with grace. It's like with beauty, with pleasantness. You want to hear it again. Yes, you want to hear it again. And you always want to hear it again. It's actually a sign of the anointing. And you know, many of you are going to be walking in that.
Yeah.
Yes. Going to be walking in that. So, Jesus is anointed to teach. Now, he said, from this day is what? The word of the Lord fulfilled, or this scriptures fulfilled in your hearing. Now, jump to verse 22 again. So, all bore witness of him and marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out from his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph? Hey, is this not Joseph? Now, jump to verse 30. In fact, let me just take my time and read it very well. So, he said unto them, this Jesus, he's not really friendly like that. The way he chews around, when you read John's account, it's amazing. So, listen to what happened. He said to them, you will surely say this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country. Then he said, assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows here in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land, but to none of them was Elijah sent except Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. Listen, he's actually doing his things here. The anointing is upon him, and he has started his work. This day is the scriptures fulfilled. He has already started. Now see what happens in verse 28. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. They were filled with wrath. Number one, they were disobedient. They were in dishonor. They were filled in wrath. Anointed preaching also brings wrath and anger. See, when I sometimes teach on some things, I'm sure some people are filled with wrath. But that's the spirit upon. Do you see that? You're able to enter into certain places. And you say, no, we don't preach here. We don't preach here. No, you say, me, I preach here. And then you preach. And the people are filled with anger because you are preaching. That is the anointing. Oh, my class, they said we shouldn't preach to anybody. Well, you might be trying to keep up the order, but there are certain times God disorders the order. And he causes you to rise up and say, we are going to preach this morning. And then you actually go to preach. And in those words, you know, all believers, they might be filled with wrath. Why are you preaching to us? Why are you preaching to us? But that's what the anointing does. It enables you to be somebody that proclaims, that explains, that expounds, that teaches. Now, don't forget, everything I'm telling you is a proof of your love for him. That's all. So they were filled with what? Wrath. and rose up and thrashed him out of the city. Do you know what to thrust? What it means to thrust? They forcefully bundled him and bundled him out of the city. It's to cast out. Yes, like a demon. Hey, come on, get away. It's to thrashed out. That's what they have. That's what they did. They bundled him like that. And then they said, no, we can't keep this guy here. He's going to destroy our synagogue. Right? They thrashed him out of a city and they led him to the brow on the hill on which their city was built, that they may throw him down over the cliff. So that's what you should be prepared for. Preachings, teachings that causes people not to like you. Yes, it's true. If they will throw you off the cliff like Jesus. But it is proof that you are anointed of him. Some people have a problem with some of the things we teach or we say eternal salvation and all that. So we don't like to hear that. But that's not really a problem, you know. So you should be prepared for instances like that. Your preaching will stir up certain things. But it's actually proof that you love him. Your preachings will cause a certain Muslim brother to be angry with you because you decided to stop him and to preach to him by force against his will, but you decided that you were still going to preach to him. So they were filled with wrath. Now look what he did. Then he passed through the midst of them. Then he went away. Verse 31 actually is our emphasis. Then he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was what? 31, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. You see that? Yes. He was teaching them on the Sabbath. Verse 32, the same thing that we see happening in verse 22, which is like the gracious words that they were seeing and they were hearing, is the same thing we are seeing in 32 again. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. There was power in the preaching. 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 There was power in the teachings. There was power in the proclamations. There's going to be power in your preachings, amen, in your discipleships. They'll say, what kind of gracious words are flowing out through your mouth? There's power in the teachings. And there's going to be power in your preachings and your teachings. Amen. Don't you believe that?
I believe it.
Power in the teachings. The power in the teachings will cause them to be amazed. It will cause them to say, what graciousness is this? Sometimes it will cause them to be wrathful, full of, they are angry that you are teaching them this. So maybe when I teach on faithfulness and I teach on, when I become very hard in my teaching, you see, I know that very well. I'm a teacher, so I should know. It stirs up certain emotions. Like, who is he to tell us? Does he think, who is he to tell us? what does he think he is? You say it to me, but I know it stirs up certain wraths. But you see, that's proof actually that there is power in the teachings. Yeah, that it gets you angry at a point that why is Pastor telling us to do it this way exactly? Can't he tell us to do it whichever way? Pastor is not soothing. At a point in time, when I have meetings with you and I blast you, I tell you what I actually want to tell you. I know someone will be sitting down somewhere. They are receiving it. All right, but there's this, a bit of intimidation. It's a bit of intimidation. It's not too profound, but there's a bit of intimidation. And I don't really care. Because I'm your teacher. I don't really care. I'm not afraid to tell you anything. I'm not afraid to tell you anything. And I don't fear any of you sitting here. That's why when I came and I saw his leg under the tent, I said, you should move from there. Because I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of anybody. You are all my children. I can't be afraid of my children. So it will stir up certain reactions. But it's proof that it's a powerful teaching. Yes, it's proof that it's a powerful teaching. It's proof that it's a powerful teaching. So, you see that there's just not graciousness. Oh, it's not just gracious. Pay attention to that. Eh? You know, there are some people you need, when you get to them, you just tell them, see, I've been preaching to you for 4 weeks now, graciously teaching you about Jesus' love and all, but there's something I didn't tell you. If you die, you're going to hell. I thought to tell you to. So who are you to tell me that I'll go to hell? Is Muhammad Gandhi not another way to going to the Father? He said, no. Jesus is the only way. If you don't accept it, you are going to hell. My brother, you are dying. You are going to hell. I said, why are you so religiously trying to encave me to your religion? I'm not trying to do it. I'm just telling you that if you don't believe in Jesus, you are going to hell. I've already proclaimed graciousness to you. They were marveled at the graciousness. Then some were actually pulled out and said, we don't like this kind of a preaching. We don't like this kind of a teaching. We don't want to hear this kind of a teaching. Who is that small boy? I'm a little bit older than him. You know? But it is not in age, you know. It's in the grace of God. Yes. It's not in age. But actually, I'm older than many of you, just so you know. Yes. I might look small, but maybe I'm older. Majority of you. So you are also not older than me. It means I can even tell you my mind the more. Yes, all of you here, I'm older than you. I'm not older than you, Smam. I'm older than you, significantly. Yes. So it means that you are even not even on the plane. It means that when I sit down with my mommy and I say, mommy, those mothers, then we can't, but you, I can tell you. So you are not even there yet. And if you are, that's not by the way. That's by the way. So, Jesus is preaching. Some are angry. Some are astonished. Some are wondering. You know, I believe that some are in love with the teachings. Some are saying, you know, it's powerful. It's like the Jesus preaches with a lot of power. There's authority. He speaks as one that commands the scriptures. I believe that the same testimony of, you know, disciples that, you know, when he met them on the road to Emmaus, and they say, when he speak to us, did our hearts not burn? I believe that there were people in there that said, you know, when he was speaking, something in my heart started burning. It came alive. That's the power of preaching. And that's what your preaching is going to be doing. Amen. To your disciples. Amen. It will ring in their hearts over and over and over and over again. So he was teaching them, verse 31, on the Sabbath, and they were astonished. They were blown away at his teaching, for his word was with authority. His word was with authority. Your words are going to be with authority. You know, your words in authority are your words in truth. That's your words in authority. Yeah. And there's a power that emanates from teachings. When I sometimes I have Kenneth Hagin just playing, and when I listen to him, I'm like, man, this man's words are with power. I mean, when you are not sensitive, you just that's how he talks, right? That's really, you say, I can't even hear. He talks too fast. That's what you say. In fact, I also had that problem when I started listening. So I had to slow him down by 0.35. So he talks, and I said, that's good. But I could feel the power in the words. The words were alive. It's like the words in themselves were talking. Yes, that's power. So those were how Jesus' words were, right? Now, what did he go in verse 32 to do? He was teaching, right? He was teaching. Now, the word teaching is the word didasco. Let's lay emphasis on the word. Then we'll look at how he did it. Right? It's the word didasco. D-I-D-A-S-K-O. In English, like a didactic form of a teaching. Now, when we say something is didactic, or the meaning of didasco, it means to hold discourse. To hold discourse. Write it all. You need it for your disciples. When you are listening, you are not just listening to yourself. You are listening and you are listening for other people. So cease listening for yourself. When you start to listen, that you listen to teach, is you're listening differently. Your listening is differently, or you listen differently. But when you listen for yourself and you feel like, no, I'll just, it's just me, the listening is also different. You don't pay attention to detail. So you listen with the intent that I'm listening to teach it the same way. Are you listening? So it's to hold discourse, right? To instruct. To instruct. To instruct. It also means to discharge the office of a teacher, or to do, to discharge the office of a teacher. To hold discourse, to instruct, to discharge the office of a teacher. It means to also instill doctrine. To instill doctrine. And doctrine is actually the word teaching. It also means to explain. To explain or expound. Don't forget our central bearing of the fact that the spirit upon is primarily to teach or to preach. Right? Don't forget that. And that will tell us of how much we love him. That's why I had to read our first scripture. If you love me, feed. It means if you love me, teach. If you love me, preach. But unfortunately, he went a fishing early. So let's just take a quick, we're going to take a quick rush into that. Preach. Teach. Not your message, glad tidings. The gospel. Right. But before that, let's see Malachi 2. I want to show you something. In Malachi. So we're going to see Malachi chapter 2, verses 7. You're not supposed to be careful that what you teach. In fact, Matthew 28, which we're going to get to, he says, teaching them all things whatsoever I have taught you, and lo, I'm with you. Right? So you're going to teach what you have been taught. Don't go and stand somewhere and teach what hasn't been taught. So let's see Malachi 2, verse 7 to 9. For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. You see that? Don't go and be seeking something else. You see, the additions are side bonuses. The miracles, the signs, all of that. In fact, miracles, signs, and wonders will come after the word has been preached. He will accompany the word of God with signs, miracles, and wonders. So there is something to preach, right? There is something to preach. There is something to preach. There is something to proclaim. There is something to explain. There is something to expound. There is something to say. So, he says, from the lips of a priest should keep knowledge. The priest should keep knowledge. And the people should seek what? The law from his mouth. The law actually there. You know, I told you that in that case, they didn't have what we have. So the law will be the law and the prophets. The word of God, let me put it like that, in their day. Right? Yes. For he, who is the he? The priest is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. That's the priest. Is that he keeps the law on his mouth, the word of God on his mouth. He is a teacher. He is a preacher. He is a messenger sent to proclaim a message. You know, those times, has your mother ever sent you before, like, to say something to Eja Esumisi? Then you get there, and you're like, please, my mother said. Especially those things happen maybe when you were playing game or you're watching TV and you say, hey, go to Auntie Esther's place. All you heard were gibberish. All you just said is go to Auntie Esther's place. But because you are busy watching TV, you just, Auntie Esther, my mother said, maybe she's in the kitchen. Yes, your mother said what? Auntie Esther. Auntie Esther, let me go and ask again. Right? So you go like, mommy, what did you say? That's a messenger. That's a preacher. It's like brought to proclaim. So the preacher will keep the word of God on his lips. Are you listening? Yes. So he would not preach anything other else. You know, sometimes some people are preaching about a lot of things. Preaching about money. And you know, they dubiously say Jesus preached about money than he preached about anything in the world. That's a blatant lie. Why would you tell such a lie? That Jesus preached about money than he preached about anything. You know why they see it like that? Because their lenses see only money. So when Jesus teaches about, maybe let's say, famine, they interpret that famine to mean he thought about money. When he teaches about talents and coins, they don't see what he was trying to point out. They see coins. They see talents. They see money. You see that? When he teaches about, let's say, health, they probably twist it to mean, you know, it's financial health. What's financial health? If he was clear about financial, he would have told you he's talking about financial health. Finances have a health. Now, we are not against money. I do not love money, but we need money to do the gospel. And that's plain truth. But let's be very disciplined that we don't see everything through the lens of money. It's very important. Money, this money, that money. 21 ways to make money, 52 ways to make money abundantly, 14 ways to make money super extra abundantly. Charlie, favor abundantly concerning money, increase abundantly concerning money, 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 the daughter of money and its father, how to make money, when to turn out. I mean, just preach and teach what you have been given to preach and teach by Jesus. So, some also feel like they are sent to preach about forex, trading, race, millionaires in the marketplace. I think I had some writing on that a few days back. I mean, me when I write things, they are very strong inspirations. There's nothing I write that's not inspirational. And how I write them, I don't know. But I know I write them. So God says he's coming for them. Those who mark forex, you know, you can have. Do you know I could be teaching you about money, forex, and you believe that, like, forex is all that God wants you to do? I could twist and turn the scriptures for you to believe that. And that's very sad, you know. So, he's not sent us to preach about money. And he's not also sent us to preach about people's, businesses. No, they are glad tidings to the. He's not talking about financially poor people. Because you can have all the money and yet still you are very poor. That's how Jesus sees you actually, when you don't have him. So, be careful as, you know, you don't preach a lot of nonsense. That's why I tell you to preach what you have been given to preach. So that you don't go to surprise your viewers one day. Like, we are here, yes, we are here to enjoy another wonderful sermon. And yes, we are CFI Kotobabi. And we are here today to talk about, how that you can live your entire life with $2 million. That's our topic for the day. We thank Pastor for the opportunity. Thank Pastor Way. Yeah, I'm even afraid. I'm thanking you for the opportunity to preach about that. No. You can learn to separate what you do secularly. Just separate it and do it. Do it. Have your businesses. Do everything. But that is not what God wants you to do in Christ. Are you listening? Yes. So he sent us with a message. The law should be on the lips of the priest. He should always preach. You see, you can preach everywhere. It doesn't have to be just evangelism. Some people have to wait for evangelism before they preach. No, you should actually be preaching everywhere. Like anybody you work with. Like, it should almost spontaneously come out of you. It doesn't have to be about church or a particular ministry. It just has to be Jesus. And then Jesus helps them to grow in what you have been given as a ministry. Do you understand that? So it should always be on your lips every single time. The word of the Lord should be on the lips of the priest. And we must ensure that we don't disappoint Jesus. Now, you're going to be teaching them all the things. Do you understand? Yes. We're going to be teaching them all the things about him, his likeness, and in his nature. So you see, teaching the people to love is to be teaching them his nature. That's valid. Right? Teaching them the gospel, it will be teaching them what he has done in Christ. Right? Teaching them about being right in their conduct will be teaching them to reflect his nature. Do you see that? So we're going to be teaching, but everything is going to be centered on him. Right? Preaching first to those who are unsaved, teaching to those who are unsaved, then preaching, teaching, whatsoever the means is, bringing them up in his nature. So the primary thing is to get them born again and to get them saved. Then you make them grow in what they've been given. Make them become more like him. They make them love like him. Make them talk like him. Make them respond like he will do. So you have a teaching ministry. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So let's see Jesus and how he exemplified that. Matthew 11:1. We're going to move quite fast. Matthew 11:1. Now it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, that he departed from there. What did he do? In their... Great. So he was preaching. And he was teaching. In the cities. Do we see that? Is that your Jesus? That's my Jesus. He's preaching. And he's teaching. The Spirit of God is upon him. That's what he has been anointed to do. So like I said, you should be moving from one place to the other, one hostel to the other, one room to the other, one small gathering after the other. That's what I'm teaching you. Right? Now, anywhere I'll teach. Yes, anywhere. Because it shows that I love him more. And as it means that I'm feeding his sheep. So anywhere, any small time I get, I'll teach. I'll pray. I'll flow in the things of the Spirit. Any, whatever time, it's time for that. Right? So, Mark 4:1. Mark 4:1. And again, he began to do what? To teach. Right? You know, he will expound, explain, receive questions. That's what he was doing. In Mark 4:1, and again, he began to teach. So that emphasis, and again, means that he had already been teaching. Do you see that? He had already been teaching. And again, he began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things and said to them in his teaching. He taught them many things. He taught them many things. You say, Pastor, I don't know how to teach. No, listen to me. You are receiving that grace to teach. Just pick the same thing and teach. Are you listening? Yes. Just pick the same thing and teach. So let's see Mark 6:2. Mark 6:2. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to what? He began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished. The anointing of God upon a man astonishes in preachings and in teachings, fills with graciousness in men's hearts. Don't forget, provokes and causes wrath. Yes. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? This is pleasant to hear. That's what some people say, actually. Some people actually say, he's a liar, he's a false prophet, he's a false teacher, he's a false apostle, a false pastor. But it causes reactions anywhere. That's why sometimes you can find a man of God say something and then the media just jumps in on it. And sometimes you listen to it and you're wondering, what did he say wrong? It provokes a certain kind of a reaction. So, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this, which is given to him? And such mighty works are what? Performed by his hands. There are mighty works that are performed in preaching and in teaching. And then eventually our hands, that's indeed the miracles, the signs, the wonders. So do you see that they were not just shocked at the mighty works that he performed by his hand? They were also shocked at his teachings. The teachings. You are going to be shocking people by the way you teach. It's a wonderful gift, though. It's a wonderful gift, I tell you. Be shocking people by the teachings, the preachings. See, it's gracious. It's pleasant to hear. Don't worry if it stirs some wrath, but it's all good. They're all the same. Right? So, he taught them. They were not just surprised by the miracles. They were also surprised by their teachings. Now, go to verse 34. Oh, this is Jesus. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So, what did he do? He began to teach them many things. We said last time how that he was moved with compassion. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They had nobody to relate with them personally. Right? And then I laid emphasis that you must be able to get to the people. Do you understand? Sheep without a shepherd. Then, for his great love and compassion for them, he began to what? Teach them. He began to teach them. So we are seeing that Jesus is teaching Jesus. Don't be deceived. Aside the fact that he's a miracle and healing Jesus, he's a teaching Jesus. Anytime he appears, people will be astonished. People's hearts are filled with graciousness. They wonder what kind of a man he is. That's our Jesus. And that's how you are going to be. That's how you are going to be. A miracle worker. You don't want to be a miracle worker? A miracle worker? a teaching person.
Amen.
So we see that in Mark 6, he demonstrated his love for them. Right? By teaching them. Now, when the day was far spent, now, the emphasis is that he didn't just teach them. He taught them for very long. That's why he said, when the day was far spent. So if we have a 6-hour teaching now, that's just love spelled for you. He began to teach them. Long. Explaining, teaching, expounding. And you see that there are a couple of students. Yes, sir. So are you trying to say, oh, after he has said something continually for 3 hours, are you trying to say, and Jesus has to come back again, come to pick it from that beginning? And sometimes if it's like a sort of like a Pharisee or a stubborn Jew question, I'm sure he just slaps it with a very nice question that leaves you just wondering, like, wow, what's this guy saying? I mean, we want to kill him. But he doesn't care. He just goes on with his teaching, right? So he's explaining. So he demonstrated his love for us by feeding and teaching. God is giving you a supernatural ministry to feed and to teach.
Yeah.
Yes, to feed and to teach. And when you are teaching, people will be astonished. Let's go back to Matthew's account. Matthew 5, verse 2. Okay, let's actually start reading from verse 1. And seeing the multitude, he went up a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and did what?
Taught them.
It's like every time you meet him, he always had something to say, except maybe you were blind, deaf, lame, then he heals you. Now, even in that healing, he tells you something that teaches you something. So he was always pointing and making reference to a reality. Now, so for those of you who have good Bibles, you realize that it's in red. It's plated in red. Jesus' teachings are plated. Do you have it plated in red?
No.
Also plated in red. Not plated in red. Okay. So you see that shifts to precious. Let me just show you something. So that makes it clear. Do you see that from verse 3 at Jesus' words? Now he preaches to almost chapter 8. Now let me tell you the truth. This is actually a summary, like a very comprehensive summary of what Matthew could tell us. Now, he spoke much more. Now, if I tell you that, capture my sermon, you are going to capture it comprehensively. You are not going to say what I'm even saying now. Capture my sermon. You are going to capture it comprehensively. It's not going to be there. So, vital things that he said were summarized to make out the meaning. Now, he taught them a great day while it was still long. Like, he taught them long. The other verse, we saw how long he taught them. The day was almost over. In fact, the disciples came and said, "Boss, let's send them away. We don't have any food for them to eat. Listen, the multitudes are many. Let's send them away. There's not a miracle here. You know, if not, they'll faint." Right? So he's teaching, actually. He's teaching verse 3. Blessed are the poor in the spirit. Don't forget, there are questions, you know, raffings, astonishings, words filled with graciousness, powerful things that erupt from his mouth. So he's, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Irene, sir, Jesus, sir, what is blessed, sir? You know, when he blessed, And do you know, I'll show you another scripture. Whenever Jesus taught, he actually taught from the Old Testament. And in their time, they didn't have verses like, yes, chapter 4, verse 1. You see, ours is easy, chapter 4, verse 1. No. When he takes from Genesis, he actually teaches right into Malachi. That's why in Luke's account, he tells us how that from the beginning, he taught them from the law and the prophets. He taught them right from the beginning. So when in Jesus' teachings was to have all of the things that spoke about him, except that he wanted to probably lay some emphasis on a particular subject. But many of his teachings, he used that method. Because it was didactic, don't forget. It wasn't just, yo, you guys, you know you are blessed, you know? Yes, next person, you are blessed. No. So, he's blessed and poor, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, I'm even jumping, blessed are they who hunger and thirst. Then another says, but Lord, I'm physically hungry, does that mean physically? I'll show you another scripture in John chapter 5, into 6. He taught, Jesus is a serious man, he taught, and he never censured his words. By John 6:66, the things he was saying, they were so hard to understand. Some of them said, we'll not listen to him again. Well, please, let's go. He taught so hardly. So, blessed, 11, blessed, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward. For you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Nor do the light of the... Hey, let your light shine. 20, for I say to you, 10, verse 30, if your right hand causes you to sin. Look, he's teaching actually different sermons per sitting. He's teaching in... So, after we are done with if you love me, we go to if you don't love me. Then we show up with what it means to teach. That's what he was doing. He was literally having a camp session with them. Like, they were seated and they were listening. So, by chapter 6, look what he says in chapter 6. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men. What has it have to do with blessed? Now, they could relate, but he was actually teaching. That's all he was doing. See, verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He's teaching on prayer again. Now, see, verse 14 into 16. He's talking about forgiveness. And men forgiving their fellow other counterparts. Verse 16, he's speaking about fasting. Verse 19, he's speaking about laying up your treasures in heaven. Do you understand? Then he continues that, tells us how our eyes should be single in verse 23. Tells us how we should not be worried. Chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not, so that you will not be judged. Then, 7:7, prayer. Ask and it shall be given, seek and you will find, and all of that. 15, verse 15. False prophets. Then, verse 26, he backlashes them. 26. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. You know why? Because to actually save a man, you need to save his mind. To actually save a man, you need to save his mind. You know that if we have one person seated in suit with tie, shoes, whatever, there's something wrong. There's going to be trouble, though. Sitting like this. They'll tell you that, hey, this person, when you go, don't say anything. Because he has been dressed to look like it. Because his mind is dangerous. Even though he's in a suit, his mind is very dangerous. You don't play with somebody like that. Now, there's someone with a shirt like mine, a child like mine, but he's actually fine. So you can't really, really save a man when you have not saved his mind. His mind spoils everything. See him sitting down with a suit. Sometimes when you see them, you can tell that, this person, I have to be careful. If you've worked at a psychiatry before, you see them coming or something. Or maybe you see someone in, what do you call it, suit. You know, especially those people, I mean, you see them with their tie. You say, hey, this person, there's something wrong. Something wrong there. So we must get their mind saved. And that's what Jesus Christ was trying to do. Right? So, your disciples, their minds need to be saved. And that's why you need to be able to talk to them, preach to them, and teach to them. Because there are things that make them unstable. There are things that make them uncertain. There are things that make them afraid. There are things that get to them. And you must be able to, like Jesus, sit them down, get the unsaved born again, proclaim their liberty or their freedom, and to preach and to proclaim that acceptable year of the Lord. So you must be able to do that. I tell you, a minister is first and foremost approved by preaching and teaching. That's why a church is not even run on miracles. You can't run a church on miracles, you know. For it to stay. Now, the miracles, people just come to take miracles and then they go. They come to enjoy miracles and then they go. Do you see that after Jesus' death, all the multitudes, where were they? Couldn't find them. He actually took time to select others and give out more impactful teachings. So the extent to which you impact the people will be the extent to which they stand strong. Or you saw, what do you call it? Lazarus, Jesus 13. Lazarus had actually received a miracle of resurrection of the dead, but he was not there. So you're going to learn how to teach more. Are you listening? So he was everywhere. Now we're talking about feeding on. We're talking about feeding. That's teaching. Teaching the same thing. Teaching the same thing. So he taught extensively. Matthew 28:19. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and what? Teach. The Great Commission. The Great Commission is what? Teach. Sometimes I feel like if we pay attention to just a little details, we'll know what Jesus wants us to do. Like just a little. Like he just said to go and teach all nations. How can that not be? Or how can you receive something else? Do you see that? He just told you, go and teach. He, when he saw people with compassion, he didn't say, hey, you know what? Bring us Alvaro. Go and gather clothes. Go and gather trousers. Your lost shoes, bring them to me. We are going to have a charity distribution center. Wow, how I love the people. But in today's world, that will be known as love. It's like we go CFI, we're going to open borehole. And then you see how people are doing this. And then say, Emmanuel, stand and say, Pastor, please stand and take a picture. You see, Pastor is standing with the people like this. Then there's a video, you know, and then they are coveraging video, borehole. Say CFI. Say wow, CFI. Wow, CFI. CFI's and cool. They are sharing it on their status. Like CFI is here. Wow. Then you see Pastor doing borehole. You know, and everybody's going to applaud. It will even come in the news that a bunch of young students decide to donate borehole, because boreholes are quite expensive. You know, they are not like shoe and clothes and all of that. Boreholes are quite expensive. So, say donate borehole to dilapidated community. Then it comes in the news. It comes in the, they're saying, this is ministry. This is ministry. This is what we want the churches to do. The churches, they are here saying that they are doing all night. What should we do? Eh? So this is ministry. This is what we talk. This is what we are talking about. When we talk about a church, we are talking about, you see this church, they open a factory. You see this church, they open a football field. You see this church, they open stadium. You see this church, they've even given people debt. What do you call it? To go and, this church is doing this. No. But when we go to actually preach, they're going to say, see these people. They don't have anything to do. But that is the ministry of Jesus. Doing boreholes and all of those things are good. We don't have a problem. We'll do them as the Lord leads us to. But that is not what he has sent us to do. If we do it, it's just a charity gift. It's just something we do out of charity. Just do out of. You know, and charity is just doing something to help the less privileged. Right? So we want to be like Jesus, don't we? When he saw them, he didn't say, bring us Thomas, go and tell, get us children's wear shoes. Just tell TV3 we'll be having donation today. And then TV3 will come coverage. No. The ministry of Jesus is a ministry of preaching and teaching. Teach the people about him. Teach the people to love him. Teach the people to serve him. Teach the people to give their lives to him. Teach the people to want to preach and to teach others also. So the Great Commission is therefore to go and make disciples of all what? Nations. Just go teach. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, is to teach. Just go ahead and go and teach, go and preach, go and proclaim, go and teach. There's a message, don't forget. In your discipleships, teach. Be conscious about teaching. Teach what you have been taught. This message, go and teach the same thing. The same verses, just duplicate them. Teach the same thing. Are you listening? Let me take you back again. Matthew 8. Sorry, Mark 8 instead. So we're reading from verse 29. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said, you are the Christ. Then he strictly warned them that they should tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. He spoke this word openly. He began to teach and he said it openly. So you're going to be amazing preachers and amazing teachers. In Luke 11, verse 1, his disciples asked that they be taught. Are you tired? Okay. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to what? Pray. As John also taught his disciples. Right? So, Jesus on the earth was teaching and was a wonderful teacher. He was prone to teaching. Anything he said, he would start to teach you right now. Start to explain. He starts to save your mind from unbelief. Starts to save your mind from disbelief. Starts to fill your heart with belief. Right? He starts to save your mind from unbelief. He starts to want to make you a preacher. That's what he did. You know, he called the disciples unto himself that he might teach them and send them. He always want to make you something. And he would accomplish that by teaching. By teaching. So don't despise teaching. So Jesus, bodily, we see that he was a wonderful teacher. He taught God's word graciously. He taught God's word with power. As one having the authority over the scriptures, he proclaimed, he expounded, he taught, right? Great. So, the Holy Spirit has a very key responsibility as well. Let's see that in Luke 12:12. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Now let's see John's saying of the Holy Spirit as well. 9:34. John 9:34. No, hold on. Okay, I'll get the scripture for you. But a primary responsibility of the Holy Spirit is that he will teach you all things, right? He will teach you all things. So we cannot even say that the Holy Spirit, whom is a representative of Jesus, does not teach. He teaches. In fact, his primary responsibility is to teach. It's to lead you and direct you into all truth. So Jesus continuing his work today via his Spirit will be to teach, to expound, to explain, to cause our minds to understand. How many of you have teachers that you never understood? You never understood whatever they said. Me too, I had a teacher like this. Oh, may you not be a teacher that causes men to be confused. Like when they come to your class, oh, there were some teachers like that. Like, you can say, this teacher, I'm not going to his class. Because when I go there, I'll be more confused. So, you know what? Ajua, you go. When you come, you teach me. Eh? Let's do a quick one. Let's see Theophilus' account of Jesus. Acts 1:1. Very quick. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and, did you see that? He had a ministry of teaching all. Jesus, he was a wonderful teacher. The Holy Spirit, he's a wonderful teacher. We'll see how the early church exemplified teaching. Acts 5:28. Okay, 28, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in his name? So they were teaching. Do you understand? Yes, they were teaching. They were... look at your man here. They were teaching. And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. You see that? They filled everywhere with their teachings. Everywhere that Jesus was the Son of God. They filled everywhere with their teachings. They had to go and explain in people's houses. They'll teach them. So fill everywhere with your teachings. Fill everywhere with your teachings. Fill everywhere with your teachings. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than you. Peter was now, he now had the Holy Ghost. It had come upon him. You see that? Those that wasn't upon him, now it had come upon him. Acts chapter 2, he preached, 3,000 men were saved. So right now, he had received the Spirit upon, and he is not afraid any longer. Yes, he's not afraid any longer. Peter is no longer that timid guy who is afraid. Say, no, no, no. We will not listen to any man. We are going to preach. Yes, we're going to preach. We're going to preach. We're going to teach. We're going to explain. Yes. No. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Let me show you what happened. I'm going to read this very quickly. Him God has exalted to the right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Is that preaching? Yes. Do you know that they said he shouldn't preach, but he's actually preaching there. When they heard this, what were they? They were what? They were what? They were cut to the heart. They were what? Enraged. So they were furious. Do we see that effect of Jesus? They were full of wrath. Yes, anointed preacher, it crosses a stair. They were full of wrath. They were full of wrath. They were full of wrath. Full of wrath. Full of wrath. My version says they were furious and plotted to kill them. Yes. You know what today is a plot? It's to take counsel that, you know, Peter lives at this place. 9:30, we see that he walks home with that. They plotted to kill him. But you see, you're receiving grace to preach and to teach. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
God is going to help you that you're going to exemplify this ministry of the teacher and the preacher. And by this, you will say, I truly love the Lord. Yes, by this you will say, I truly love the Lord.
Amen.
By this you say, I truly love the Lord.
Amen.
By this you say, you truly love the Lord.
Amen.
By this you say, you truly love the Lord.
Amen.
You know, I've just showed you Jesus' life. How that the Holy Spirit also teaches. And how that shortly, the apostles exemplified that. I would have shown you more how that they gathered daily in houses, preaching, teaching, breaking of bread together. Your preaching and your teaching ministry is changing.
Amen.
It's changing. Your preaching and your teaching ministry is changing. It's getting better. Words filled with graciousness. Words filled with graciousness. Words filled with graciousness. Words filled with power. Words that will change men's hearts and that will change men's minds. Words that will cause men to take total U-turns away.
Amen.
The glory of the Lord will be felt and experienced in your teachings.
Amen.
In your preachings. In your discipleships.
Amen.
Men will understand you.
Amen.
Your teachings will provoke reactions.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
They'll bring men to understanding.
Amen.
They'll bring men to places of light.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There's clarity in your teachings.
Amen.
Graciousness in your words.
Amen.
God is establishing you and making you a mighty preacher and a mighty teacher.
Amen.
Just like Jesus.
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 Amen.
Preaching like Jesus.
Amen.
Teaching like Jesus.
Amen.
Healing like Jesus.
Amen.
Being moved with compassion like Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The grace of God will be mighty in your preachings and in your teachings. Your preachings and in your teachings. In the name of Jesus. Just rise up to your feet and go ahead. Speak in tongues shortly. Affirm this in your life. Affirm this in your life. My preaching and teaching ministry receives an increase in effect. In effect. In effect. In effect. There's an effect. An effect. An effect. As I stand in places to preach, as I stand in places to teach, there's going to be an effect. There's going to be an effect. A great effect in men's hearts. An effect on their lives. Captives will be set free. Captives will be set loose. In the name of Jesus. Captives will be set loose. Proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord. The grace of God is upon you. The grace of God is upon you. And He hath anointed you to preach and to teach. God's glory is upon you. His 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 glory is upon you. In Jesus' name. You know, the grace of God will be strong.
Amen.
In your lives. And from today, you know, I returned back from a camp and I saw a vision of the Lord. This was a vision. I saw a mountain and I saw people rushing to the top of the mountain. Funny enough, I saw myself rushing to the top of the mountain. And I saw something like a shofar that was being blown on the mountain. In the vision, I remember exactly where I was standing. And suddenly, I saw people, you know, pushing out canoes. I saw people moving in vehicles. And they were all rushing to where I was standing at the top of the mountain. And the Lord said, you have been given the grace to teach. My first sermon after that experience was what it means to be prepared for in the gospel. I realized that something had changed about my teaching ministry. Something had changed. Something had changed. I couldn't tell, but something had changed. Something had changed. I couldn't, but I knew it was different. There was this pasture, there was this life that started emanating from the teachings. You're going to have a story where you walk into this grace and you'll be able to stand and teach And you will know that something has changed. As you listen, you know that something has changed. And there's going to be a supernatural ability to communicate, a supernatural ability to understand, a supernatural ability to be wise, a supernatural ability to speak with boldness and courage. Your ministries are changing.
Amen.
Your preachings and teachings are clearer than before.
Amen.
They are clearer than before.
Amen.
They are clearer than before.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Go ahead and thank God for that grace if you desire it. Just thank God for that grace. Precepts upon precepts, lines upon lines, things will be put in their rightful places, and there will be communication. And men's hearts will burn a fire. They'll stay for God. They'll choose Him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Take your seats.